Well, a very good evening to you and welcome to this March 21st regular meeting of Warrville City Council. We'll begin this evening with... It's like we're in a stadium. All right, we'll begin this evening with prayer, and we have with us tonight as our guest, Pastor John Malpas from the Warrville Christian Church.
Father God, we thank you for life, and we're thankful that you brought us here tonight. We just want to begin this meeting by acknowledging you as our God. Father, we recognize that without you, we're really nothing. You're the one that holds all things together, that gives life. And Father, we just come humbly before you right now. God, our minds are with the people in Ukraine. We pray for peace. We pray for protection. And God, we think of those in our own community who are suffering, who are struggling. God, we just ask for your strength in their life. And Father, as this council and the city staff and all associated with this meeting tonight is... We look at the agenda, we just ask for your guidance, we ask for your wisdom, and ultimately we pray for your will to be done. God, we love you. Thank you, God, for blessing us to be able to live in such a great city as Warrville, and we just pray your blessing on our city. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Clerk, can please call the roll.
Hanworth.
Here.
Spirit.
Here.
Shanklin.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Carr.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Wilson.
Yeah, here.
Thank you very much. You should have received a copy of the minutes from the March 7th, 2022 regular meeting, as well as the March 14th special meeting of City Council. I have a motion to approve the minutes of those meetings.
Mosley motions.
Mr. Mosley motions.
I'll second that.
Mr. Larson seconds.
Esperance.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanworth.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening, and so we'll move along in our agenda to our standing committee reports. And we begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee, as chaired by Mr. Hanworth. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Parks and Rec has not met, therefore I have no report. However, I would like to try to schedule a meeting for April 11th, if that works, with council's schedules and doesn't interfere with any other committee meetings.
And at what time are you thinking there? After utility board?
Yeah, I think that would be fine. So 6:30 or 7, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. 7 is usually pretty safe.
7.
All right.
So that would be to review projects, event status, and just some different expectations for the committee for 2022.
All right. And you want to meet here in the chambers? Okay.
Yes.
All right, so April 11th, 7 p.m. for the Parks and Recreation Committee here in City Council Chambers.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll move on then to our Utilities Committee, chaired by Mr. Shanklin. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Utilities Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
All right, thank you, sir. Our Ordinance and Personnel Committee is chaired by Mr. Larson. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met, and I have no report.
All right, thank you. And our Transportation Committee is chaired by Mr. Mosley. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening. Our Transportation Committee has not met. I just have a couple of items. I'll have a reminder here for March 28th at 7 p.m. We have a Transportation Committee meeting. I ask that each council member come prepared with notes of different correspondence that you received from different citizens, just as talking points. A former Safety Service Director has confirmed that she will be there, as well as a council member, a former council member, also said that he would definitely be there. The good experience that we have here is the former safety service director, she actually inherited it. So she wasn't part of that decision-making process, but she inherited this project when it started. And then the same thing with the council member, he was also there to go through those first few phases. So with that, obviously we have that meeting there. There's another project that obviously our engineer took on. There was a complaint from Stephanie Musselman. She said she lives at 851 Beaver Street. She said that there was trash at some point between the last year that was dumped on her property. Actually, it wasn't her property. It was city property, but it was in her backyard. I brought that to the engineer's attention on Friday, and today, you know, thank to you guys, it was taken care of and picked up, and then a letter was sent for the property owner who the remainder of the stuff was on. So with that, Mr. President, I have nothing else to report.
All right, very good. And just for clarification, the Transportation Committee meeting will center around the sidewalk project in Ward 4, is that
correct? That's,
yeah, very good. Thank you. And the response time on the trash thing, you called out Friday, but it wasn't cleaned up until Monday. Is that what I understand?
Yeah.
If we could tighten up that response time, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I told the lady to let me know if it's not cleaned up in 2 weeks. So
yeah, okay.
I think she's very happy with, you know, after the weekend was over.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. Thank you very much. Our Health and Safety Committee is chaired by Mr. Espiris. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. So Health and Safety has not met yet, so I have no report in that regard. However, just to kind of bring you up to speed on a few meetings I did have, I did meet with the fire chief and the police chief, separate meetings. Mr. Wheeler was at both of those, and really the topic centered around just kind of what's going on in the now and what to expect down the road. Most of those things were addressed in the budget and the appropriations this year. But I'd be more than happy to go into details if we did have questions on those. And then some of those things that we discussed for the future, Chief will bring up in his annual report here later today. Okay. And then also, I would like to officially schedule a committee meeting for March 30th. I know it's a Wednesday, a little abnormal for us, at 7 p.m. That'll be held at Fire Station 1 with the topics of Ohio House Bill 172, which deals with fireworks. And then also to take a look at the new equipment that the Wearable Fire Department has.
Okay. All right, very good. So the Health and Safety Committee, March 30th at 7 p.m. at Fire Station 1.
Okay. If there are no questions, that concludes my report.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on then to our Planning Committee. It's chaired by Ms. Carr. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Planning Committee did not meet, therefore I do not have a report.
All right, thank you. And our Finance Committee, chaired by Mr. Wilson. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. We had our 2022 budget workshop last Monday night, where we discussed many projects slated for the year and the costs associated with those. My takeaway was the city finances are in good shape in terms of operation requirements that I'm sure Ms. Strimmel will elaborate on in her report on April 18th. And 2022 will be a telling year as we face headwinds with proposed definition changes in how we collect income taxes from the business sector. So prudence will continue to be taken with that regard, as well as near future large expenditures for fire and utilities. With that is my report.
All right, thank you very much, sir. We have no special committee reports this evening, so we move on to our administrative reports. And we begin with Mayor Handwerk. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our March Employee of the Month is Mike Miller, and I haven't talked about Employee of the Month for now exactly 2 years. And I will say that I believe I read this to council 2 years ago, and before I could even have Mike out for lunch, we stopped everything, mostly out of concern for our employees and their safety, but also restaurants were closed and there was no place to go for lunch anyway. And several times we tried to start the program up again, and things would get worse again, so we finally just started again this past month. So Mike Miller, I will read this again since it's been 2 years ago. Mike started his employment with the City of Oroville Technical Services Department in August of 2012 as an instrumentation and controls technician, too. Mike is a University of Akron graduate where he earned a BS, Bachelor of Science in Electronic Engineering. As well, Mike also obtained an LPN from Canton City School of Nursing in 2008. Since hired, Mike's responsibilities have been instrumental in performing calibrations on boiler and turbine process sensing instruments for flow, pressure level, and temperature measurements, ensuring each are calibrated to industry standards. Mike is also the go-to guy for emissions monitors, ensuring the equipment calibrations are in complete compliance with EPA rules and regulations. All stuff that I would be just great at doing, I'm sure. That's technical stuff there. Mike resides in Massillon with his wife Liz and their three cats, and that's cats, not kids. Mike enjoys hobbies such as snow skiing, but not as often as he used to, and fishing with his dad in Florida and repairing antique radios. Mike specializes in the repair of tube-type guitar amplifiers, which is kind of a lost art since the development of the solid-state electronics. Per Mike's wife, he is the Star Trek original series fan and can recite the transcripts to nearly every episode. But last but not least, Mike enjoys the 70s and 80s proverbial hairband music while he cruises around in his 74 Chevy Nova. And Mike and I had a nice lunch at Jerry's a week or two ago now. So we'll start this up again and hopefully not get interrupted anymore. All right, that's all I have. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And then we'll move on then to our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Gateway Restroom Project construction continues. They did start working on the walls last week. And if you get a chance, head out there and take a look. There's actually something to see now, and that's coming along. And hopefully the weather continues to cooperate and we can keep moving forward. This Wednesday, March 23rd at 9:50 a.m. is the statewide tornado drill. We will be testing our sirens during this time, so do not be alarmed if you hear the sirens going off. That's a good thing in this case. And that's my report for this evening.
All right. Thank you very much. Now we'll move on to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. No comments tonight. I'll just have a few comments related to the resolution that's on their new business. That's all right. I have.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And then our Finance Director, Ms. Strimlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Mr. Wilson mentioned, the Finance Committee did meet on March 14th. At that time, we did review the final appropriations in detail. We also discussed the projects planned for this year. For the city, we have 35. Probably the most exciting are the 14 for the park. Things like the splash pad, the outdoor education area, disc golf. We're also preparing an area for batting cages, and we'll be doing design work for a skate park. Those are all in addition to our normal annual projects like street repairs and upgrades. For the utilities, we're planning on painting the central water tower. For wastewater, we're going to do some upgrades to the collection system. And probably the biggest project is for the electric utility, the substation upgrades. I did have a few follow-up questions after our workshop, so I think we have everything covered and we're ready for our final reading this evening. Also on another topic, I did make sure council had the fourth quarter for 2021, the investment report. I just need the minutes to reflect that that was delivered. And finally, the October, November, and December fund balance reports were given. I'll go over those in more detail during my annual report in April. And so for now, all I need is a motion from council to approve those reports subject to audit.
So moved.
Mr. Wilson moves.
Mosley seconds.
Mr. Mosley seconds.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you very much. And then our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride. Good evening.
Good evening. I have no report this evening, Mr. President.
All right. Thanks very much. One quick note I meant to mention at the beginning of the meeting. The administration has requested that council go into executive session to discuss personnel matters. And so we will plan on doing that at the conclusion of our agenda immediately following Chief Bishop's report and before, let's do it after the good of the order on tonight's agenda. That way all the public comments will be concluded and then we can go into executive session with no further business than to be done by City Council. So that's how we'll handle that this evening. And then I do like to highlight the fact that Ms. Strimlin mentioned that planning, design, and engineering will take place for a skate park for the City of Orrville. It's been an ongoing project over many years as people have proposed it at different times. I know Mr. Lorson has been a proponent of that project for several years. And it's come close to coming to fruition. When we did the dog park, that was kind of in competition with the dog park as far as getting a grant. And the dog park kind of won out there. But finally, we are seeing some movement on that. And so just wanted to emphasize that for the community that we are finally going to see that project come into fruition. So, all right, with that, then we'll move on in our agenda to old business. And Mr. Lorson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 1022. I move this resolution be placed on third reading. Second.
Mr. Shanklin seconds.
Lorson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 1022. A resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Oroville, State of Ohio during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2022 and declaring an emergency.
All right, as previously mentioned, we had a workshop on this last Monday. Do we have any further comments from administration or any questions or comments from council? All right, very good.
I move resolution 1022 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Ms. Carr.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Lorson?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you very much. We'll move on then to new business. Mr. Lorson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 1122. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 1122, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to amend the Enterprise Zone Agreement between the City of Oroville, Ohio and Venture Products Incorporated dating September 10, 2015 and an amendment dated July 20, 2020.
Thank you very much. I understand this is a minor correction, but we'll let Mr. Wheeler elaborate.
Thank you, Mr. President. The treasurer has been just kind of re-examining their books. Noticed that the actual construction square foot was 3,750 more than what was originally stated in the original agreement. They've asked that we amend the agreement so that their records reflect our records, and it's really just a clerical correction, to be honest with you.
Any questions or comments? All right, I imagine we can just go ahead and take care of this tonight.
If you don't mind.
Controversial, yeah.
Mr. President, I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of the resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Second, Ms. Carr.
Wilson?
Yes.
Andor?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
I move resolution 1122 be adopted as read.
Second.
I think Mr. Wilson got in first. It was a close tie. It was photo finish. So Mr. Wilson, second.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 1222. I move this resolution be placed on the first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Spears.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 1222. A resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities and/or the Public Utilities Board of Control to bid and enter into a contract for the interior and exterior coating and painting and rebuilding of the valve vault on the central water tower and declaring an emergency.
All right, one of those things you only learn at a city council meeting, that we have a valve vault on our central water tower. Can you tell us more, Mr. Brewer?
Every water tower has one there, so we are in need based on our last engineer's inspection of the tower to basically refurbish the water towers. We do this about every 20 years. We just refurbished the West Tower a couple years or so ago, and it's the Central Tower's turn this time. Again, this is just mainly routine, dealing with especially specialized coating on the inside that keep the already cleaned up water clean as it flows from there through our water distribution system and out to all of our faucets. The valve vault system is basically a series of valves that allow the water to flow throughout our water district. We have three water districts, and it also equalizes pressures in the systems, and will allow that those systems to be tied together in a kind of balance there. But it's that is the original that that tower went in the 50s. So it's been serving us well. Last time we refurbished that well was in 2003. Cost us about $136,000. We're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000 to $450,000 to do that work this year. Utility board authorized developing the engineering and bid specs last week at its board meeting. We're expecting that work to take place over the next 3 to 4 weeks, as soon as those are complete, pending authorization of this resolution, we'll go out and bid as soon as we can to get on the vendor's list, get on whatever material delivery list there there are, and if we can find some synergies to get that done this year, we'll do it this year. If it's more advantageous for us to defer that work to next year to due to material supplies, vendor availability, costs, things along that line, we'll do that. So we have flexibility from a time perspective. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions. Oh, the other thing that we'll point out to also help take a little bit of the bite out of this cost, we will be using some American Rescue Fund Act funds on this to help out a little bit there. Not a lot, but some. And I'll answer any questions that you might have on that. Yes, sir, Mr. Orson.
That the engineering spec will include an engineer's estimate then?
Yes, yes, right. Yeah, this will be bid out, formally bid out.
Okay. Yes. How many bidders would you typically get for a tower like
this? Three, four, somewhere in that neighborhood. This is something that it's not one of those dying arts, so to speak. There's water towers all over the United States, but it's like everything else. Who knows what the people situation looks like for these contractors, or like every other contractor in business and industry, they're probably struggling with that. Material shouldn't be anything out of the ordinary, but we won't be going now to your local Ace Hardware store and picking it up something on the shelf, so there will be lead times involved on that. But you know, we expect to have a decent amount of bidders on this, but I'll follow up with you when that comes through there and see how close we come to that.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. This is one last chance for the mayor to volunteer to go up the water tower and paint it.
Did that once. Yeah. Not paint it, though.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you, it takes a special group of people to do that, because we watched the guys do the one up on the West End a couple years ago, and you know, scaling up and down that thing with ropes and stuff, it's like, man, that's a tough job.
Yeah, I've always said I'll do the first 10 feet, but after that, yeah. Boy, yeah. So.
You're a brave man.
All right, very good. Mr. Larson.
Well, knowing that we've approved the engineering previously and this has been planned and budgeted for quite a long time, I'd like to see us be first in line. So I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Shanklin.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Amber?
Yes.
Asparagus?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
I move resolution 1222 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hanward.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanward.
Yes.
Spearis.
Yes.
Strengthen.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 1322. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanward.
Yes.
Spearis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 1322, a resolution authorizing participation in the ODOT road salt contracts awarded in 2022 for road salt for the city of Orrville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Wheeler, I understand we're going to be increasing the amount we purchased this year.
We are actually not increasing the amount. We're actually purchasing the same, but we'll be able to store much more than we have historically. We actually have 650 tons currently still in storage. We're going to be able to add another 1,000 tons. The new salt storage unit holds 1,900 tons, so we're going to be able to prepare kind of early and have plenty ready and available for us. We also will have the brine system up and running as well, so kind of should be in really good shape for next winter. This is an annual resolution. We do partner with ODOT, as many communities do. The price of salt should be interesting this year, just because everything seems to be going up. When I first got here, it was $120 a ton, so it is quite a bit less still than 12 years ago. Hopefully that'll continue. I'll be glad to answer any questions. This is an annual resolution. ODOT goes out for bids, believe it or not, in April, so I do ask that it be approved, if not this meeting, at the next, if possible.
I believe we have Mr. Larson first.
Mr. Wheeler, just as a frame of reference, how much salt did we go through this season?
We actually went through 1,100 tons this year, which is a little bit more than usual, but as everyone knows, we've had a pretty hard winter, so.
Thank you.
Mr. Mosley.
It was, in my opinion, I believe it would be in the city's best interest to pass it tonight. Just from the experience with dealing with salt and looking at the history that we have gotten with ODOT, definitely the best prices that's out there. The salt industry is very volatile, when it comes to pricing. It could literally be $120 today and then jump up to $200, tomorrow. And last I check, I don't think we have a salt miner in the city of Orrville. So it would definitely be in the city's best interest to pass this tonight so we can move forward and get locked in with the ODOT deal that we're going to get on.
For the very reasons as stated by Mr. Mosley, I move that the rules, regulations, and the statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Let me give this one to Mr. Spearis. He's lost a couple. So.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanford.
Yes.
Spearis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
I move resolution 1322 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanford?
Yes.
Spearis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 1422. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hanford.
Hanford?
Yes.
Spearis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 1422, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to procure quotes from various vendors and then enter into an agreement and or agreements without bidding to purchase benches, trash cans, picnic tables, and two swing sets for Orr Park in the city of Orrville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Very good. Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. We received a grant from the Ohio Department of Natural Resource NatureWorks program, just over $34,000. This grant allows us to buy those items that are mentioned in the resolution. We have received the grant agreement. We're good to go. We're bringing the legislation to you just in case one company is over the $15,000 with the accumulation of goods, I would still need a resolution in order to do that. So that's why I bring it to you tonight, just in case, to be honest with you, as we are compiling the list from certain vendors, that if it happens to go over that $15,000 amount from that particular vendor. I would request approval tonight if possible, as we're trying to move forward and get everything ordered, and there are some delays or some wait times in regards to some of these products that we're ordering.
We've certainly seen that with long lead times, and so the earlier that we can order it, the better. This is part of what Ms. Strimlin referred to as the, I believe you said, the 15 projects in the park?
14.
14 yes. Projects in the park, I think, is a high water mark for us, and as far as investment in our city's parks. Any other questions or comments from council?
So we can get down to the business of spending the money from that grant. I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Mr. Hamburg.
Ms. Paris?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Farr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
All right, motion passes.
I move resolution 1422 be adopted as read. Second.
Second, Mr. Shanklin.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Farr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Ms. Paris?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
All right, thank you very much. We'll now pause for a few moments in our meeting while we set up the room as Chief Bishop will be presenting his annual report for the fire department.
Allocate the popcorn. Oh, he did bring little popcorn dispensing units.
Oh, they think of everything now.
Man.
These are trained professionals at popcorn.
Chief,
you can as long as you want. Yeah, you can just
go
back.
Yeah. 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 Wow, he is
nice.
That was nice.
You guys really did think of everything.
I just told him he can go as long as he wants. No penalty.
That's all right. We'll think we're going to be all right.
Oh,
wow,
thank you. I
didn't
have dinner yet, so.
Oh, you're in good shape,
then. We won't take away any money from the chief this year. All coming from that.
I know. I didn't get to have any at the.
It's not even sweetest day.
Home for the holidays.
Yeah.
Take your time, because it's going to take a while to do all this scooping over here.
I don't know. We may have to go into extra executive session. What is it, Mr. Ron?
Yes.
Get the napkins open.
I think we can dab it with a pen. How about that?
Safety coordinator. It's laceration.
Yeah, you might have to get a. We have to make an OSHA.
Oh, no.
Not the self-report here.
Just a flesh wound. When you're the guy that has to do the paperwork, you never get
around. He wants to take you to the ER.
If you sever a limb, it's okay, right?
I've been up there too many times. I don't want to
die. I didn't see it there.
No.
Thank you.
When he just started bleeding on his own. Ah, boy, this will be tough. We have to hire out snacks here for our presentation.
You brought popcorn before, didn't you?
I did one time.
You did.
Microwave popcorn.
Wow, calling you out a little bit.
I mean, no,
one microwave, Cheryl.
It was.
Or it doesn't meet the mark.
Yeah,
you're
going
to have to step it up this year.
And then you'll put me to shame.
Matt didn't bring those.
Do we have a chia pet going on right now?
A what?
A chia pet?
No, I still have my...
Your former...
My Obama one.
Yeah?
He's in my office without any hair, but I have seeds for him.
Okay.
Let's start him up again.
My fault.
Making a mess.
Well, it kind
I'm
of...
I'm going to rock on my package of chia seeds and...
That's a great popcorn.
It is
very good. Probably like could feel your arteries clogging as you after every bite.
Yeah. along with everything else today.
Like a glass of ice water.
I have one.
Or a beer.
Or a beer.
We're done talking.
I don't like beer.
We're good with popcorn and peanuts and stuff.
Pardon?
Those are our house.
No, they missed the movie.
Do you have a contractor who does it around here, or do we have a... Oh, we do?
Can you see okay, Cheryl?
Yes, I can, thank you. Whose house is that?
I don't know, that's a lot of smoke.
Yeah, where is the house?
Have you seen that stove?
Hmm?
Yeah, I drove by there, yeah.
Maybe I'm locked or that.
I'm sure, that's not gonna be up for a year.
We'll be ready for our second one.
No pressure.
Need to know.
I think it kinda is what it is.
It's the county, not a sister village. It's the county. That's what I should say. It's a whole lot of things. It's a big county.
You would have made a killing.
I'm not sure what's in there, but I've heard of Mercer County. Yeah, so.
It's getting easier now. Yeah.
What the city is like.
It's right now by Erie.
I've heard that county's name.
It's only like an hour and a half from there. I feel bad.
They're a tourist area, isn't it?
Erie is.
Mercer County is too.
Mercer County. They're implementing the same software.
Seriously?
Maybe we need to think.
So then you give you as a reference, I guess.
Well, I can't get the rest. Yeah, you got some bold. This is working perfect.
Yeah, don't mind your fingers, man. You're okay.
You're like, let's talk to him.
He's like, yeah, it's good. This has been a 2-year implementation. You have nothing. We got you meet. I got to tell Jeff, but I feel like I can't be a complete game crusher. I've already spent my money back.
Take a longer to pass out popcorn than it does for him to respond to a fire.
Yeah, seriously. I'll be selling water in the lot.
Probably make some money doing that.
What is up? Oh.
Yeah. Ready for real.
Huh? We get the rest.
Thanks for the opportunity.
It really is. You should see it on Monday.
I hereby submit my Orrville Fire Department's annual report for the year 2021. This report details the activities of the department for the past year. As 2021 came to an end, it marked the busiest year ever for the officers and members of the Orrville Fire Department. Again, call volume for both fire and emergency medical service increased as follows. Fire, 234 calls. EMS, 938. 76 of these resulted in direct contact with COVID-19 patients. The year 2021 was a continuation of 2020 in dealing with the pandemic, utilizing safety procedures first implemented in 2019. Highlights, Our city administration and city council approved legislation to replace a 1995 backup squad as well as our 2006 frontline squad. Squad 61 and 62 are now in service and provide our citizens with top-line equipment. Engine 69 was delivered in March and put in frontline service in April. The much-needed door replacement for the overhead doors was completed at Fire Station 1. And the annual July 4th Fire in the Sky celebration was back in full swing after a year's absence. 84 teams played in the 14U tournament, 32 teams played in the 5-Alarm Classic. Massive crowds of people enjoyed both the July 4th parade as well as our largest firework presentation to date. Looking ahead, manpower staffing. With our ever-increasing call volume, as mentioned, 1,172 calls, comes the continuing challenge of manpower and staffing. Our current roster of 25 part-time firefighters, EMTs, medics, most of who work full-time jobs elsewhere, once a potential firefighter is hired, typically a full year is required for a new member to complete the training requirements to be an OFD member, and is outlined by the state of Ohio. Continuing education requirements add to this challenge. In 2021, Orville firefighters spent approximately 2,670 hours of participating in continuing education activities in both the classroom as well as in the field. Improved space utilization at Station 1. Station 1 was built over 50 years ago and continues to serve the city well. However, due to the increased call volume and equipment storage, maintenance requirements, we continue to look at ways to improve our storage and working capabilities, utilizing every inch of available space. Continuance of compliance with the state, federal, and other regulations. Again, in 2021, we continue to work diligently towards compliance with multitude of regulations pertaining to the fire and emergency medical services. A lot of this has to do with stroke protocols and stuff like that, mostly on the EMS side. Additionally, we provide fire safety and education programs to the schools and other groups when these programs are requested. Heavy Rescue 63 replacement. In 2022, we'll begin the long process of writing specifications for the replacement of Heavy Rescue 63. When this process is completed and the truck is actually delivered, our Heavy Rescue truck will be over 20 years old. Rescue 63 has proven to be one of, and quite possibly, it's the busiest fire company in Wayne County. This truck is on scene at any and all situations requiring the use of heavy rescue equipment and manpower, including, but not limited to, all requests for a rapid intervention team, the RIP, which is the firefighter rescue team. There's four of those in Wayne County. We have held one of them. Motor vehicle accidents, industrial accidents, and all hazmat calls. All fire calls assigned as within the city of Orville, as well as the areas we provide contractual coverage and mutual aid. As chief, I'd like to personally recognize the administration of the city of Orville. Directors Wheeler, Strimlin, and Brediger, as well as Mayor Hanwerk, always have the best interest of the city of Orville and its citizens at heart. Also, Councilman Aspiris and the Health and Safety Committee, as well as its members of City Council, have provided tremendous support. We cannot thank you enough for what you as a group have done for us. Respectfully, Chief Chris Bishop. So, start this. This was a fire we were at earlier this year. Members. This page shows the total hours worked by the members of the fire department. This year we put in 21,326 hours, which is fire calls, EMS calls, our training, meetings, OFFA activities, vehicle maintenance. It comes out, like I said, 21,000, which is a quarter, 10 and a quarter full-time employees that equates to. Fire calls and EMS, City of Orville, 940 calls in the city. Baughman Township is a contractual area, 54.
Central Fire, which is Green Township, 85 calls, East Union, 39, Sugar Creek, 32. And then other mutual aids to other places such as Chippewa Township, Ripman, Sterling, etc. For a total of 1,172 calls. There's the breakdown all the way back to 2013, so you can see how it's increased. See, from noon to 6 p.m. is our busiest time, 390 calls in that time frame during the year. This is mutual aid that we provided to other departments. We were out 50 times last year on mutual aid calls. Most of those are writ, and we requested 9 mutual aids to come help us inside the city. Our response times are still excellent for a paid on-call fire department. 6 minutes from the time that we receive the alarm till the first unit is on the road, 9 minutes till it's on scene. And the average call takes about 51 minutes, average for every call we go on.
4 minutes, I'm sure.
Fires from last year. EMS division, City of Orville, 784 calls. All the other townships, 154, for a total of 938. We've got a 56% rate on our collection for our EMS billing. You see, we billed out 371,000 and collected just a little over 209,000. This is level of service, and this is something that we talked to Councilman Spears about. Look at the top number, non-emergency. We went out the door 289 times on non-emergency calls, which are lift assists and false alarms where people hit their medical response button by accident and they don't need anything. But, so that shows you how much those are. Those calls are then basic life support, 319, advanced. There's two categories of advanced, level one and level two. Level two is obviously the most serious. Medical illness, 215, pain, trauma, 243, 61 heart attacks, 68 breathing difficulties, ODs, 26. The non-injury, the lift part of that was 104, illness, strokes, 24, 55 car crashes, and the 76 COVID calls that were confirmed COVID. Prevention Bureau, and we were at the, we didn't get going with that till later in the year because of COVID, but as time went on, we were going back to the schools and going to doing programs for the fire extinguisher training and stuff for the different factories we do that stuff for. So that kicked off going. We continue to work with the National Fire Safety Council, and this program has been very well supported by our local businesses. This enables us to buy our stuff, our plastic fire hats and all the stuff that we pass out at the different things that we go to, the library right to read, weed, community days at the park, Safetyville, school programs, school tours. Inspection Bureau did 51 of those, 64 review of plans. And here the water department was out there when they do their annual hydrant flushing, and we get all the results of that. And that's a huge help with us with pre-planning buildings for our fire prevention. And as we're doing our inspections, we're checking the buildings and looking at all that for, again, for future fire prevention. Training Bureau says we had 2,670 hours, which comes out to about 107 hours per man that was put into training just last year alone. Feel the heat, there's two Councilman John Lorson, and it was Kerry Foy that did the program. That was a couple years ago. Last year they didn't do it. It's back in operation. It's usually in October. If anybody is interested in doing something like that, get with me right away because that fills up very, very fast. John can talk about it. Good program.
Absolutely.
fire investigation. We have to do an investigation on every fire we go on, and goes with the state report. Completed projects, the old doors and the new doors, the new engine, the two squads, and we're finishing up the fire hose. It's our honorably retired indemnity board, our instructors, fire prevention, president of the association and his crew, our officers. Chuck Back, 50 years of service this year. Jason Bodick had 25, Kevin Sprouse 25, and Josh Nichols 10. Right now in our department, the average years of service is 19.8 years of service for the members. So we're a senior department. A special note that I want to recognize was Bill Lytle, retired, William Lytle, 58 years of continual service in the city of Warrenville, 1963 to 2021. And he reluctantly retired. Chuck was our firefighter of the year this year, two-time winner. Like I said, Chuck's a very active member of 50 years. He's a firefighter, EMT, and he's a state-certified arson investigator, and Chuck is our lead pyrotechnician for Fire and Sky Fireworks. Warrenville Firefighter Association, we'll talk a little bit about this. You can see the amount of hours that the members put in last year when we went. This was something that when we, early in the year, we didn't know we were going to be able to do it because of obviously with COVID and the way things were going. Contracts had changed drastically from what they were in the past with our firework contract. We had lost our ride company because of COVID. The pandemic, they had to shut down a unit. So in April, we decided we were all in because once we had signed the contract, our money was tied up. And it was a no-return money. And you know, their answer was, well, just reschedule. You can have it later in the year. We can't do that because our main thing with the fire in the sky is the softball. The softball is where that's where we generate our revenue. And those kids are back in school. And the teams have actually, after that, they've already disbanded. They're already making their teams in September for next year. So that didn't work. We have to go July 4th. So got it. We signed the contract. And, of course, everything worked out. But a little bit about that, I want to emphasize what this brings into the area. Whenever, for the softball, we run the Fire in the Sky, the 14U, is the single largest single age group tournament in the United States. So that week, we are the king of in Ohio. And ASA USA Softball, which is the sanctioning body, has a formula that for every 30 travel teams that come in brings an estimated $3 million of economic impact to your community, which in our area would be the area. We've been on the phone working with hotels since February this year because this year we have 102 teams coming in for 14 years and 44 teams coming in for 12 years. The 12U is kicking off, and we can make that as big as we want. But we want to, our goal is, that's our warm-up. We want to just keep that what it is. We want to keep everything in town for that. Fire in the Sky, we have to go to the Kidron and Dow and use the other field because of the amount of teams we've got coming in. But just so that everybody understands the economic impact that this stuff brings into your area, the stores, the gas stations, the hotels, the restaurants, this is huge. So sometimes it's hard to get that through some of the people. And we've been approached from different places. Well, we want to partner with you. Well, we're not looking for any partners. We have two partners that we need, the city of Warrenville and the utilities. So anything we ever need, street department, police department, they're just like that. Utilities, we make a phone call, we need this to happen, it happens. So We're blessed, and we are very thankful for what those groups bring to us and to the community on that stuff. So, but that takes 5,535 hours was taken just to run that operation. And that's all volunteer, all time away. Get some pictures. This is the kind of a, we're 105 days away from this, so.
Oh, no.
It's all April. She's raised the level for everybody here.
Well, that'll be next. So, glad to answer any questions anybody has for anything. We really appreciate all that you guys do for us. We couldn't do it without you.
Yeah. So, just to make sure I understand that correctly, $3 million for every 30 teams.
Yeah.
So we would expect to get over $9 million with 102 teams.
And that's what they, that's their estimate that they use for, they bring in with the hotel. That's the year because we're filling up the hotels. We're now in the building. The village area now filling. Everything around this area is obviously already full. These teams that are coming, these are travel teams. It's not the local, the mom and, mom and pop and all the recreation teams. They're coming from 9 states. And a lot of these, the one team, for instance, on their roster, they were headquartered out of Louisville, Kentucky. It was actually Louisville Flutters. Sponsor. They had kids on there who lived in Nashville, Tennessee. There were some girls from Toledo. Here's your schedule. Here's what we're playing this summer. You guys just make sure you're there. So Ron and I, we're talking to these parents, and the one guy comes out and he says, his travel budget for his daughter was $9,000. So that's what these people are putting into this stuff. We're sitting there talking to these people. It's like, dude, put the money in the bank. The spouse, we're all going to get the Division I scholarship. They love coming to Norville. And, when we talk to all these people and they love it, it's like, I know Steve and I have had this conversation multiple times. It's July 4th weekend. These teams can go anywhere they want. We have to make it that they want to come to Norville High. And obviously, our first year when we did this, we had 19. And the firefighters sponsored the 10th team, so we had 10 teams. And, one of the best things we ever did was, we hired Joe Horn. He was a sophomore at Ashland University. And he's still with us. And he's a college football coach. He just took a wide receiver job at Eastern Tennessee University. It's usually the downtime, but usually in April, May, and June, I talk to Joe more than I talk to my wife. What's going on? But Joe's been with us for now probably 12 years, and he loves it. The College of Worcester's, I think she's the assistant coach. She might be the head coach. She played in our tournament, and her team was with the Wolfpack, which Steve's very familiar with. They won our tournament, and they took our bid to the Nationals. They finished up number 2 in the nation. The team came to the station and presented us with a signed ball, and they gave us their trophy because they were so appreciative of what we do for them. And anyway, so that girl went on to play college ball. Now that she's the coach of College of Worcester,
She's now back working with us. She comes back for the summer now. So it's gone full circle, and, you know, obviously we couldn't do it without those people that help us. But,
great.
So it's excellent. John.
Chief, what's your manpower situation look like? With the average 10 to 19 years, where do new firefighters come from? What they need to do to get on?
Well, we get calls, and when we go through the background of what they have to do, you know, most of the time we never hear back from them. We just did hire a young kid, and Phil and I had this conversation. The kid we just hired, he's actually a high school senior. He'll graduate in May. But you won't, and you got him in the academy. So he won't graduate until December of 2020. But, you know, as we're kind of looking, is this the route we're going to have to go? Maybe get. And we're going to have to change our mindset where, you know, my time, my day, you did something and I'm here. It was long term. Well, that's society. We get these people to come, get 3 or 4 years out of them, and then they move on. I guess that's what we have to do. But the bad thing about it is, you know, the city of Orrville, it's a $15,000 investment for us to hire a person. That's to send them to the school, to train them, to equip them, to get them in their gear. You know, so it's a big expense that we need to get a return on our investment. And, you know, not everybody wants to go into burning buildings. Not everybody runs the boo-boo buggy that, you know, go on squad calls. So I don't know. We just did, so now we're up to 26 is on our roster. But as I said, Father Time is catching up with our group, and that's. I mean, I wish to God we could just put this group, put it in a bottle and cork it, because we got the best there is. I got the greatest job in the world. I get to go to work every day with my best friends, and a lot of people can't say that. And I don't even have to do. You don't have to tell them. They know what to do. Which is a tribute to that. We're talking. We met with Rick, Steve, and you know we're going to meet again in the near future, and that's the topic of how we're going to keep the thing going as we're going, because it's something we'll get one chance to do right. It's got to be right for the citizens. It's got to be right for our guys, our members, and that's what we're working on now. Because there's a lot of moving parts in this. Number one, the fire safety, 4th of July, there's a lot of. So we gotta just see how we're gonna do it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
With the manpower shortages in the factories, are you having difficulty with businesses letting their guys off?
Yeah, that's a thing of the past. Businesses, that's been for several years, they're not letting, very, very rare, they're not letting people leave anymore.
So what do you do?
Yeah, that's the problem. We do have it, like if we have a major fire or something, you know, we tell them when we're interviewing that, you know, work it out with your boss, and if we call, we need you. And most of the places are good about, you know, at that, but to leave on the first call, the first alarm, they're not allowed to leave.
If you recall, too, at the very beginning of the year, we did the hazardous pay.
Yeah.
Or the firefighters, and the two top guys were Ron at 62% of calls and Chris at 55% of calls, and that's because they already worked it off. So those two are in the back of the room like almost every time you see them go by, you can make a mile. So it's a real challenge.
And then our third, I think, is Chuck Back, who's retired.
He's retired, right. Yeah.
So he's available in the daytime, yeah. Thank gosh. So.
Yeah. The one slide Chief Bishop showed that showed the time of the day that was busiest. And yeah. Actually, Monday through Friday, if you think about first shift or actually expanded from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that's our busy time. And Chief Bishop's the youngest guy on the crew at that time. And Chuck Back at 70, you know, typically on and predominantly EMS calls, that's what we do the most of, you know. Chuck Back, EMS Deputy Kevin Baldwin, Chief Bishop, and myself, and then some of the other guys, as either their work schedule or their time permits. We're pretty thin at that time. kind of old.
So I'm actually kind of buddy. I bought a Lockheed business from a firefighter over in Akron. He's an officer. But right now, he's actually getting unlimited overtime. There's 60 firefighters short. This week's opening is the day after yesterday. They have 8 in their academy right now. He just said people are coming. They're getting training, which, you know, is like $15,000 investment. And they're leaving. And they actually have fires. A lot of fires. Regularly. But I mean, the call number's a little bit higher. It's exciting, you know, there. But they're having the same employment issue. And for a city that's maybe 60 firefighters short, and everyone is working. I mean, they pretty much have unlimited overtime. I mean, he's paid off his house. He's paid off everything because of the availability of overtime. These are employees.
That's the thing too. I was at a chief's meeting, and this is this is everywhere. It's not just Orville now. It used to be when I was 18, I'd take a fire test at a city. There'd be 300, 400, 500 people taken for one spot. Today, you're lucky if you get 20 people to show up to take a test, and that's Mackin for the police, fire. It's gone. And you said it too. All the factories, you go around anywhere. Help wanted.
Is this a paid position? Are these paid positions at all?
Yeah.
We're getting an
hourly rate. Here, but that these other are paid. I mean, we're talking professional, full-time police and fire departments in there.
We have trouble finding people at the library. It's a lovely library. You know? And it's not scary.
Best place to work, the library.
We've been raised the rates.
I read this morning there's 1.8 jobs for every unemployed person.
And part of it is, like you said, when we do hire somebody, it takes to get them through the academy, their EMT, their fire and everything, to get the certification. And we use them for what we can, but there's a lot they can't do until they're certified. So.
Sure. Thank you.
So can you elaborate? I think it was the EMS, the collection?
Yes.
Timeout and collection, 56%. And it looked pretty steady the last prior 2 years. What's the story behind those numbers? Is there any lag in collection on when it's billed? My first thought is the other side of the coin is you're going out 44% of the time for free.
So we historically, and by historically, I mean way back, have soft collected on any EMS bills that occur within the city limits, with the idea being that they're already taxpayers, so that's just the way it's been. So we do have collections. We do have a contract with a company that goes out and does the billing for us, but they go out knowing that it's a soft collection for within the city limits. I will say, as we look at at the department evolving, that soft collection we may not be able to continue to soft collect in the future, let me put it that way. But yeah, and the 56% actually is pretty good in regards to historically, right? Yeah.
Yes.
The one, if you remember, that one, was it 298 or what, the one that we, those are, again, false alarms where they hit their medical button, or they fall in, they're not hurt, but there's nobody there to help them get up. You know, we typically before, those were never a bill. So we've been to several of those places over a dozen times to the same, same person. And, it never did a bill. We go out on it, and it is what it is. So that's part of it. The amount of calls that we're going, they were unbillable. Now we are looking at changes and stuff like that too. So you'd get a couple free ones, and then from then on you would actually get billed for us coming out.
That could go with corporate like fire alarm systems
the
as well.
Thing, yes. Yeah.
You're required to respond, but a lot of times the alarm is shut off.
We've been to there's two locations in town where 15% of our calls are just part of the job. That's what it is. Anything else?
again, thank you. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. What are the free lunches?
Yeah. Those days are over.
I know. Sad to say.
Yep.
They're good when you can do them, but yeah, when they're unsustainable, it's not personal.
I'll get it at the end, Ron. Don't worry about it.
I just won't eat it. For all you guys have a window over there, especially when the bowl gets empty. Just start eating off the floor.
Just bend with your knees, whatever you do. Bend with your knees.
I don't know. That seems to hurt more than like bending properly.
Right. Another reason just to let them lay.
Right. Let the vacuum get them. Well done, Chief.
Need to go to Jerry's.
Are they real? What is it?
Supposedly real. They told me they were real.
I need a pair of ones. They do look the closest.
I only paid $150 for them.
I used to have a cake in the fridge. We have some beer, but it's not in the cake.
Anybody else?
What kind you got?
Thank you. It was great. Thank you.
Thanks for feeding us.
Yes.
Steve, how many of those juice? Thank you. How many points are those?
You got two more.
Pardon me?
How many points are that?
I didn't have any.
You have a hole in my bag.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here eating them up to come to you for a second.
Actually, it's not as bad as you think.
Is it?
No, I've actually, the air-powered or cooked or whatever is...
Air-powered? All right. Hey, in that case, I'll take more.
Two more presentations.
Yeah, I think it's two...
We've got to figure out how we're going to step up.
I think it was 2 points a container or something. It was not bad. And they used the coconut oil, which is better for you anyway. So it's kind of good for you in a way.
I can bring in, like, Easter eggs.
Thanks for the popcorn.
I don't know.
You at least share it, cook. And then it's all bad sauce. Nobody's going to come up.
Yes.
I don't think they'll cook for it anymore, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be tough to pass.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Tough to surpass.
Thanks, guys. Hey, yeah.
Matt said he's bringing tacos.
Donuts.
Donuts.
Well, thanks very much, Chief, and we can see what good hosts the fire department is now for groups coming in. I can see it.
Bars and race.
I can see a direct correlation between the amount of popcorn and number of questions afterwards. So
I can't wait for the finance lady. You know, she got the budget.
Yeah.
I know.
Popcorn.
It's tough. It's going to be tough. What'd you say?
Fire and salty.
There you go.
Well, anyway, that was a great presentation, good questions. Really appreciate that. And, you know, one aspect, too, the fire department, you know, as we look at all these businesses that are expanding in our community, they're investing tens of millions, in some cases over $100 million in property in our city. And one of the reasons they can have the confidence to do that is because of our fire service that provides protection for their investments. So it's an important thing for council to support. And we appreciate all those people that are serving in our community. And it's obviously getting to be a bigger and bigger challenge to be able to find people to staff that. So it's just a call to anyone who would consider a career in the fire service to, talk to Chief Bishop and see what opportunities they might be here in Orville. So, all right, very good. Do we have any comments for the good of the order? Yes, Mr. Mosley.
I got one. Michael Gregory actually toured the facilities on Friday. I know he actually wrote me. He's homeschooled, and I believe he was assigned an assignment to write a public official. He wrote me, not thinking much. Council clerk sent a letter back to him through certified mail or whatever kind of mail it was, and he took up an offer of a tour around the city hall. He met the mayor and Steve kind of toured around in all the different departments. So I'm pretty sure we made that little Citizens Day, and that was a nice little get away from reality and the other issues that we deal with from day to day. So got it all done in 1 hour.
Wow.
So got to get through the entire city in 1 hour, and I was able to get back to work and be back at home at a decent time.
All right.
good.
Thank you guys for that. Thank you. You're on a beach somewhere, I believe, right? Thank you.
Well, thank you.
The new era.
Right. Just another weekend for her.
I'm going to go into executive session to discuss personnel now.
Very good.
A second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Flores?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Very good. We are going to go into executive session. Thank you. There will be no further business transacted after this. We will simply adjourn. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.